You're going to have to listen fast. I'll preach fast. How about that? John chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the service so far, the meeting, the singing, Lord, and the ability to help the young people go to the camp. Lord, now we ask that you meet with us. Pour your Spirit out upon us, Lord, that you speak to our hearts through the preaching of your word. You know every heart here, Lord, every need. Lord, we know you can meet every need. We'll put it into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Making a Decision. Making a Decision. Nicodemus is a very familiar text for most of us here. And, you know, I like Nicodemus for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I really appreciate him and thinking about some of the things I've preached about lately is Nicodemus had finally decided to make a decision about breaking out of the routine of life that he had been in. You know, he was a Pharisee and had some rite and ritual that went along with his religious practice. And of course, a lot of us get in a rut in a whole lot of areas of our life. And I see this guy here that, you know, he wasn't satisfied with that. You know, sometimes we get self-satisfied and after a while, life itself can be such a routine. And I believe that Nicodemus, even though he was a religious man, he was under the old covenant, he was under Judaism, and he was a ruler in that. He saw more of God in Jesus Christ than he had ever seen in any of the ritualistic things that he had to do under the old system there. And so he made a decision about, doing something about this life or this rut or his complacency or whatever you want to call it. He made a decision about that. I shared with my class on Wednesday night. I said, y'all probably get tired of hearing this. But we were listening with the Word of Life program. They got these video clips that help the teachers learn how to teach. Sherry was listening to one, and I was doing something else in the house, but I caught this piece of it, and I said, hey, stop that. Back it up. I'm going to write it down because I like there was some things they said, and it had to do with making a decision. It said this. It said that if you make a decision in your mind that you're going to do something, there's only a 25% chance that you're actually going to follow through and get that done. Now, we all probably can... Some of us are probably thinking, man, it's not even a 25% shot. I think about a lot of stuff I don't get to, right? Okay, then it said, if you set aside time, if you say, okay, I'm going to do it, and this is when I'm going to do it, it jumps up to a 50% chance that you're going to get done whatever decision it is that you made, you thought about making. And then if you actually make plans, if you say, okay, I'm making a decision, I'm setting aside time, and I'm going to make some plans, it jumps up 65%. Now you got a 65% shot of getting it done. But if you tell somebody else or you get somebody else involved in your decision, it's over 90% chance that you're going to get that done. I said, man, you know, I thought about things in life like that. I'll tell you about this rock wall right here. You know, I said, you know, I've done it and it's been a while since I've done it. I said, I'll do this wall right here. Now, I'll tell you what, it's a hassle. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do that wall. So I brought it up to you guys. I said, hey, if y'all want to, church buys it, I'll do the wall. They said, yeah, we'll do it. So I said, but before I'm going to do it, I had a little piece of foundation in my house I'm going to do, right? And I got out there doing that foundation. You know what I was thinking? What in the world have I done? I wonder how much Rocks by David would charge to come do that panel at the church. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But because I had told you guys and we voted on it and everything on doing it, I got to follow through with what I'm going to do. Amen. You know, that's just the way it is. When I moved away from home, man, I was a wishy-washy Christian when I lived at home, when we lived down in Northern Virginia. I was a fence straddler, you know, trying to play both sides of the thing. And, you know, I'd try to get faithful, and then I'd fall back into my old ways when we moved, you know, I made a decision. I said, you know what my decision was? I don't say, whoever, I'm not going to be a nut. I'm not going to run up to somebody on the street and I don't know, say, hey, I'm a Christian. But I decided that the people I work with and people I got around, I'm going to let them know that I'm a Christian. See, I put pressure on myself. Because now if I failed, I make God look bad. See, I can make myself look bad if they didn't know, but I make God look bad. So I put pressure on myself to follow through. And so if we let somebody else know, and I'll show you how that works out in Nicodemus' life really quick. As I said, you know, number one point, making a decision. You know, I said he was a Pharisee. That means that he was committed and he was devoted to his religion. Now, being committed and being devoted are great attributes to have. I wish a lot of people and we have in the world today, even in the church today, would be committed and devoted. If you knew anything about Pharisees, they were. I mean, he didn't have a problem with that. And then it says that he was a ruler of the Jews down there in verse 1 or 2. And that means that he had power in civil, criminal, religious matters. He could arrest and conduct trials. How'd you like to do that? There's a lot of people I've seen out there driving. Sometimes I'd like to arrest them and conduct a trial, buddy, because I know that verdict was going to be guilty before we even got, you know, very far into trial, right? But he could do that. And he was an educated man. He was a sophisticated man, had power, had influence, had a knowledge of God. Everything under the old covenant that was required, he did it. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what he said? He said, there's still something missing in my life. And he knew it had to do with God in that relationship with God. Now, see, this is where, you know, I don't know, you know, where you're at. Any of you, really, even the people I know. I don't know if you feel like there's something missing in your life or not. Now, I know some people, if I got a big group of people, I could say this anywhere, so don't feel like, man, he knows something about me. I could say this anywhere. Some of you aren't really that interested. I'm just saying, you know, some of you think, well, you know, I'm not really that interested, or haven't, maybe it's not that interested, maybe kind of strong, maybe, but maybe you haven't thought about it. You know, sometimes you get in, you know, when you get in a rut, sometimes you run along in a rut a long ways before you really realize you're in a rut, don't you? You just run along in life, and one day you say, man, I'm in a rut. You can do that spiritually. You can get in a rut and, you know, not really realize that you're not thinking about it. That'd probably be better than you're not interested. Even though that may apply, I don't know. You're here, I would say maybe not. But, you know, listen, God has created us not to be satisfied with the mundane things in life. He just did. We like excitement, don't we? I mean, man, fireworks show. Why do you go down and see a fireworks show? Because it's cool, man. I mean, they got big loud noise, boom, boom, it's booming, and the bright light, it's, you know, it's pretty, and it's kind of exciting, and so, you know, you got the old monotonous every day, every evening part of life, you know, and all of a sudden they say, hey, they got fireworks. We go down and watch it because it's something exciting. Think about the carnival in Buchanan. I mean, there's not a carnival in the world any lamer than that one unless you go up to Effinger, right? I mean, but you know what? The place packs out. It packs out. You know why? Because all year long, you know, I just can't wait. Oh, I can't miss the carnival and all that. Listen, I have got to where the carnival has kind of got mundane, so I don't go down there that much. If it wasn't for a chili cheeseburger and vinegar fries, I wouldn't get down there at all, right? Okay, but anyhow, but you know what it is? What it is? I mean, we're in Buchanan. You know, what is it? What's going on? So all year long, we're in the rut. It's the month. Then carnival week comes. And you know, us adults, we don't ride on none of them death traps that they got down there. I wouldn't get on them if they were paying you to get on them. Man, look at them old rickety things. We don't ride on them. We go down there just to walk around and see people you hadn't seen in years, even though you live in the same town. How you doing? It'd take you an hour to go all the way around the thing talking to people. But it's something different. It's different than the rest of the year. So the carnival, vacations, trips, just when company comes over, man, you get kind of fired up because it breaks the monotony of your life. That's what it is. God's made us that way. We don't like the mundane. We don't like that. That's just the way we are. And but you know, religion, and I don't like the term religion because, listen, worshiping a chunk of rock is religion. But in the sense of worshiping the true God, a religious or experience in Nicodemus's life had become mundane. And I know it does even today. I know that there's people, man, they go through the most. They walk out the door on Sunday morning, they got their Bible, and they're coming down here, and they sit in the same seat. There's people, I'm telling you right now, if there wasn't a single soul in this church, if they sit in the back, that's where they'd sit. I mean, I'm preaching up here, and they would come in and sit in the seat they always sit. That's how routine we are. They come in, and they sit down, and at 12, whatever, and I'm going to be late today because I didn't get to start till almost quarter till. They when it's over with, they go on back to the car, and they do the same thing. They stop at the mailbox. They get the Sunday paper. They go in the house. The wife works on lunch, and they sit in the Lazy Boy, and they turn on the same TV program, and they lay there and wake up with a pizza crust on their belly about 2 or 3 hours later, and they get a... That's the routine, man. I mean, you know, we get it. We get it. And then the Word of God, and that, we don't get any less excited or more excited. It doesn't change us. We say, yeah, the preacher said it was right, but how's it affecting your life? Nothing's changing. See, so we haven't made a decision about it. Well, I hadn't thought about it. I know. So there's, you know, when we think about it, listen, there's more to the Christian experience than the average Christian experience. It is. There's just more to it than 90% of what Christians experience. There's more to the Christians, what God has for us down here. Man, when you look at most of the blessings, we always think of them when we get to heaven. Most of the blessings, we don't even know what's going on up there for the most part. Most of the blessings the Bible talks about is right here now, not up there. It's right here, what we can experience right now. And so listen, even though we're made to crave something more than the mundane and to desire excitement, you know, the other side of the coin is this. We're also creatures of habit. And the reason that you sit in the same chair, no matter if nobody else is in the room but you, is because we're so affixed to habit, and there's a part of us that doesn't like change. You know? You know that? It's like we like excitement, but at the same time, we don't want to, but don't rock the boat. Don't shake up my... You know, I got my system down, man. I've heard people say, don't mess with me. I got it all down. I got to do it a certain way. You know, we got to do that. And so, and you know what? It's fear. I don't know, anything outside the norm. We just don't like that. And even though we get tired of the routine at home, at church, at work, sometimes it's this. Part of it is we're afraid to break the routine. And the other part is we're just not real sure what to do about it. What do we do about this routine that we've got into? You know, it says here that Nicodemus had said this. I don't know if you picked up on that in verse 1 or in verse 2. He said, then the same, talking about Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, Nicodemus was standing there by himself. So what that tells us right there, that means that the religious leaders, the other Pharisees and all, they all got together and they talked about Jesus. They said, man, this guy Jesus, man, he is healing the sick. He is causing the blind to see. Man, he's curing lepers. Man, he's casting out demons, man. This guy, you know, he's raising the dead. I mean, they said, we know that you come from God, buddy, because we're not seeing nothing like, we haven't seen nothing like you. I mean, we know. So they had talked about it amongst themselves. But only Nicodemus, as far as the scriptures go, now we don't know, but only Nicodemus came to talk to them. None of them. The other one said, we know, man, listen, this guy's from God. We know that this is a real deal. We know this is excitement. But only Nicodemus said, you know what? I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to set a time aside and it's at night and I'm going to make a plan to go see Jesus and talk to him and find out what is going on. What is the difference? And the others, I'm sure they thought about it. They thought, man, I need to investigate this. I don't know how many people say, well, you know, you going to church? Well, we thought about it. Thinking about it don't get it done, does it? Huh? It doesn't get it done. It's just thinking about it. Or, you know, closer relationship with God. I'll talk about that in a minute. You know, we thought about that. The others kept playing the game, satisfied or too lazy to, or too afraid to change to do anything about it. And so their decision was to do nothing. But I think way down inside, here's the thing. God can search our hearts through the scriptures, man. God searches our heart. And every single one of you right here, right now, you know if you're just playing the game. Amen. Huh? Amen. If you're just doing the bare bones minimum just to get by and scared. Is that how you say it? Scared. scared that God might shake your little world up somehow if you got any closer to God. You're almost afraid of it. Man, I don't, but see, you'd admit, way down in there, you'd admit, say, well, you know what? Yeah, I could have a closer relationship with God. You know it's not where it needs to be. You know it needs to be better. You know you can be more dedicated, more devoted. You can love. It's like Peter. You know, Peter said, Lord, Peter, do you love me? He said, well, you know, he was real honest. He said, well, I'm fond of you. That's what most people have to say if they want to be honest. He said, I'm fond of you. Finally, he said, you know, Lord, I love you, man. I love you. You know, God knows if you're playing. And God knows if it's a real deal in your life. He knows those things, and you know it too. And so they knew it. I believe they knew it. A lot of people know they're in a religious rut, but they don't do anything, either not knowing why or just about afraid to do it, to do anything about that. But you know what, Nicodemus, he went on with that plan. He set aside some time. It said he came to Jesus by night. Here's a real hoot. He came to a Sunday night service. How about that? Huh? Nicodemus came to a Sunday night service. And the others didn't show up. And here's where, you know what? Time. This is where the problem lies. Time. You know, and I think, you know, a lot of us, people say, well, you know, people have good intentions. I think y'all got good intentions. I do. But there was an old saying, I told it to a girl who used to go here, said she'd never heard it. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. She's, I never heard that. She's like, it's stuck with it. You set aside time, you're here, right? That's what, you know, hey, preacher, we're here, right? See, we're here. But listen, I'm talking about breaking through the mundane and the ritual and the closer walk with God. I'm talking about that. You know, if I ask most of you, say, man, you know, we read about big revivals. We were hearing about this one in North Carolina. If you didn't hear about it, there was one in North Carolina. They had a revival meeting that lasted like 10 weeks down there, man. 1,200 people came to Christ. Just happened just last month. They weren't just planning on doing a one-week meeting. Somebody broke out of the mundane there, man. I mean, the mundane meeting now is 1 week, no matter what God's doing, man. But they just kept on going. They broke out of it. And now, y'all say, man, I'd love to see something like that happen here. And some of you say, oh, no, I wouldn't. Man, I can't go to church every night for 10 weeks, crying out loud, man. I mean, you know, huh? Yeah, no, I wouldn't want it. But you know what? What happened if it was a real thing? I mean, it was a real thing for the people that really went. And, you know, we'd say, I'd like to see it. Or, you know what? You'd say, hey, listen, if I said, you know, would you like to really have a closer relationship with God than what you have? Everybody say, yeah, you know, yeah, I probably would, I think. I'd like a deeper relationship with God. But I also, as I said earlier, I know some of you, well, I haven't really even thought about that. Because you're in the rut and you don't see it. You're in the rut. I haven't really thought about it. But, you know, if you've thought about that, what's really the problem? It's time. It's time, time, time. Our big problem is this. Now, listen to this. If you don't learn anything else today, get this one. Our big problem is we try to confine God to a certain amount of time. And you're all going to be thinking about that a lot now because it's like a minute after 12 and I'm not even halfway done. So you're going to be thinking, man, you know what? You know, he needs to hurry up and get on out of here, but I didn't get to go start preaching until quarter till it was late. See, we try to confine God to a certain amount of time or a certain day of the week or a certain place. You know, I've got this time set aside for God and that's it. And God, if God, you're going to have to work during this time right here because I don't have time for you to work in any other time of my life. You know, that's our problem. And so, you know, we try to confine God there. You know, I'm going to church, the place, at 11 o'clock, the time, and until 12 something, whatever, that's it. I'll give you that, but that's it. If it goes past my allotted time, then I'm done with it. You see, and we think we can have a deep relationship with God in a hurry. Everything revolves around time. Everything's got to be faster. I'm working on it now. I'm trying to get faster internet than what we got. But you know what? Faster internet, we want that, right? High speed. You got to have 4G. You can get more G's than that now, I think. We go to a little store. They call them the Quick Mart. They call it, or the Quickette. That means you can get in, get out, right? Which is not true. But you get in and get out. We get to Quick Mart, fast food, drive-through weddings. They got drive-through weddings, man. You just go in there, pull in, get it over with, and down the road you want. Probably want drive-through funerals and, you know, other things like that. Fast cars, planes, trains. And I'll tell you what, it's filtered over into our religious experience where now y'all want drive-through church services. You know, you don't even have to get out of your cars. This might be a real unique idea. How many of you remember the old drive-in movies? Remember when you had the little thing, you hung it on the window, and then if you was in there like doing things you probably shouldn't do, you know, you got all a little fuzzy-headed before things got over, you drove off and that thing was still hanging in the window. How many of you done that? Go ahead and fess up, tore the whole thing right off the side of the car. Well, how about we just have y'all pull up facing this way? I'll get over here in the window right here with it, and we'll have little speakers in your car. You don't even have to get out. You can run the air conditioners, and I'll just preach from here, and y'all just listen right there, and then when it's over, you can get out of here a whole lot quicker than that, huh? How about that? Huh, man? I think it would be a hit, man. You just drive up to a window, and I say, here's your verse for the day, and you go on, and here's your verse for the day, and you go on down the road. How about that? We like that. Listen, it's going to take more time than like short, quick read, verse, prayer, poem, devotional things that we read in the morning. Our lives are controlled by time, and God wants our lives to be controlled by Him. You know, it talks about hearing the word, reading the word. We're supposed to meditate. Meditation takes time. Meditation and hurry don't go together. You can't meditate in a hurry. You can't. It's not going to happen. All right, let's be real honest right here. It's going to get quiet. It'll get quiet in a second. Doesn't matter if it's not now. I'm going to be real and let's be honest with you. When you get right down to it, and I know there's a small percentage that couldn't do it, but if we were going to be honest, there's probably not five people in this whole congregation that could not have been here for Sunday school this morning. I'm just saying there's not five people that couldn't have been here if they hadn't wanted to. There might be a few job-related things and like that. Is that right?
Amen.
All right, just got you. Okay. And there's probably got 10 people here, probably even five, I could still use that number, that couldn't come back to church on Sunday night if they wanted to. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't take an effort, and I'm not saying I'm just saying it's not impossible, right? It wouldn't be impossible. Some of you, Billy got to go to work, I understand that. They'd probably frown on you laying out, you know, if you weren't there. But I'm just talking about possibilities, right? And so, you know, you got to think about that. And so it would take an effort. What's the deal? It's time. You know, what kind of effort you want to have or, you know, what do you want to do about your relationship with God? Listen, those other buddies of Nicodemus's could have come by night, but guess what? They didn't. But I want you to know something. Jesus, and I read the rest of them scriptures, Jesus taught Nicodemus some great truths and some of the most important words in the Bible. He said, you must be born again. Guess who learned it? Nicodemus, not the rest of the guys. The other guys thought about it. They knew Jesus was from God, but you know what? They didn't come back and they didn't seek a deeper relationship. They didn't try to inquire. They didn't try to find out. He's the one that learned the deeper truths because he went a little farther than what religious experience he was going through day by day by day. So we see that, you know, he made a decision. He set aside some time. Now we got to look at this. What's your plan? Third thing, if you make a decision, what's your plan to get it done? You know, I've encouraged some of the men. I said, you know, I noticed that I've asked some of the men, you know, do you pray with your wife or read your Bible regularly, yada, yada? And a lot of them said no. And I haven't followed up on it lately. But I've tried to encourage some of them, say, look, I want you to start praying out loud. And then I want you to pray with your wife and that. And then I followed up a while back. And I need to follow up again. And, you know, someone said, well, you know, I'm working on it. All right, well, what kind of work are you doing? What work are you doing in that regard? I mean, yeah, there's going to be some kind of effort involved. Yeah. You know, what are you doing about it? What is your plan to get it done? You know, what kind of work? You got to have a plan. One thing I like about the Word of Life program that we're getting ready to use with the kids and the way most of the lessons go, and this is really, really what I should do. I mean, preachers try to do. Is after they teach the lesson at the end of it, they say, okay, how does this apply to your life? Or, now what are you going to do? They'll be doing it on a Wednesday night. What are you going to do tomorrow to implement this into your life? See, so I could ask the same question. Okay, you say, well, I'm in a religious rut and I need a closer relationship with God. And yeah, I'd like to have a revival going and I need to do this and that and the other thing. All right, so what's your plan today? What is your plan to, if you want a closer walk with God, what is your plan to get that done? You know, it's not just going to happen without some kind of effort on our part. So what's your plan to do that? You know, I was telling, we isolate ourselves from the church so much. I talked about that. We talk about them and it's we. It's not us. What are you doing to participate? Maybe you thought about that 25% chance you're going to get it done. You know, maybe you got to set aside time. You know, you got to make a plan, you know, to do something. Whatever you're going to do, how are you going to have a closer walk with God? You know, what's your plan for that? You got to have a plan for it, right? Well, you know, the last thing was it said get somebody else involved. And I talked about, you know, putting pressure on myself, and I've done that and helped that. You see, I didn't read it, but over a little bit later, you know, we hear about Nicodemus, we read there over in John chapter 19, verse 38, and this is after the death of Jesus. It said in verse 38, it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, look at that, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave and came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. And they took the body. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen, clothes, and spices, the manner of the Jews is to bury. You know, here we see this, and here's old Nicodemus, and it said that Joseph. I picked up on this time. I've read that text. I don't know how many times, but I never noticed this. It said that Joseph was a secret disciple because he feared the Jews. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but he was some kind of secret disciple too. But guess what? Somehow they got together. And somehow they talked and said, hey, I know Jesus. And he said, hey, I know Jesus too. And now all of a sudden, when they were secretly trying to be a disciple of Jesus, when they came for the body, they came together in broad daylight publicly. They said, we came. And now they're open disciples of Christ. See how their relationship got deeper? Because they got together. Is a deeper relationship. And also they were associated with Jesus in his death. That's a whole nother topic right there. I'm about done. Let me ask you this. If you make a decision, or have you made a decision, or maybe you're thinking, maybe you're kind of like those other guys with Nicodemus. And they say, boy, you know, we know Jesus is the real deal. I got to think you believe that or you wouldn't be here. Right? I got to think you believe that. You say, well, you know, we know he's from God. Okay, if he's from God, then here's his words. And there's no greater words on earth than the words of God. You've got the word of God. There's no other creature, no other creator that you can worship any higher than God. Why put him second fiddle to anything? Why just talk about Jesus and say, boy, he's really great. Why not go ahead and inquire just a little bit farther like Nicodemus did and come to Jesus and learn and find out what are you going to do if you want a deep relationship with God? How are you going to get that plan accomplished? Talking about it amongst yourself will not get it done. It will not get it done, and it didn't do it for those other guys. It takes more than a predetermined time and place and limiting God somehow. You know, we need to remove the parameters you may have placed on God and on your relationship with him. Make a decision. Give God all the time that he wants. Plan some steps to take. Get others involved in your commitment. You know, really, that's what church is about. Others are involved here. You know, we're here to help you. We're here to help you in your relationship with God. Listen, I don't know what your needs are. You know, where you're at. You may be here. Maybe you're just not saved. Maybe you've thought about getting saved, but you never made a decision to really come and make a plan. And listen, you got the time, we got the place. Listen, make a decision. Maybe all these other things apply to you. Maybe you're in that rut. What are you going to do about that? Maybe you really say, you know, I really hadn't thought about it, but now that you pointed it out, you know, I do see that I'm in a rut. To get out of it, you got to have a plan. You know, it's going to take you some time. And so, you know, maybe there's just some steps, whatever it is, you know, you need to do. We'll have